Hello. If you're interested in this seminar, chances are you're looking for ways to manage the tremendous stress of infertility. Thanks for listening to the presentation today. I'm Dr. Poonam Sharma, and as a psychologist specializing in infertility issues and someone who has resolved my own infertility through adoption, I'm happy to bring you information that will help you cope more effectively with the challenges you face. I know that each one of you is on your own journey through infertility, and part of what makes it so difficult is not knowing how this will turn out for you. So in the meantime, you're left to your own devices, and you're supposed to find your way through all this without a roadmap. There are two things I want to talk about that I hope will shorten your learning curve. First of all, I want to talk about why a diagnosis of infertility is so difficult and the typical impact it has on a person's well-being. I also want to give you some tips about how you get through infertility and make it to the other side with both you and your relationships intact. So let's get started. Infertility is incredibly stressful because it affects so many aspects of your life, all the way from your marriage to your work and sometimes even your financial well-being. Research shows that the stress level of people coping with infertility is in general as high as someone diagnosed with HIV, chronic pain, or even cancer. So that may be a surprise to you. But if it is, you know, I think it's important to remember that the magnitude of the stress that you're experiencing is unusual. And even though others may not get how hard all of this is for you, it's really important that you remember that, okay, that you take care of yourself accordingly, because you really do have a lot on your plate at this point. So let's take a look at some of the common sources of stress when you've been diagnosed with infertility and some of the very common reactions that people have when they have been given such a diagnosis. First of all, you know, it's all the physical stress, the examinations, the blood work, the ultrasounds, you know, if you're doing IVF, you may be doing injections and taking hormones, you have to go through an egg retrieval, and if you've suffered a miscarriage, you know, perhaps a D&C, but lots and lots of poking and prodding, and, you know, in my experience, most people can handle medical treatment short term, but when it goes on and on with no end in sight, it really, really is hard. Some of the common ways that people tend to react to all this stress is, you know, anxiety and fear is a very natural reaction. Most people think that, you know, when I decide I'm going to have a family, I'm just going to do it, okay? And when that doesn't happen, it's not unusual to feel panicked or even just really, really frightened and questioning whether you're ever going to achieve that dream of your family being formed. It can be really traumatic when you're having trouble conceiving or maintaining a pregnancy as well. And I think for some high achievers, the experience of infertility often is the first time in their lives that they haven't been able to accomplish what you set out to do. I remember actually working with a woman who is a professional woman, you know, career-oriented, very competent, also a triathlete. And so always used to succeeding, never really had encountered obstacles in her life that she hadn't found some way around. And so I will tell you that infertility really felt like a punch in the gut to her. And I would imagine that some of you can relate to that feeling. Sadness and grief are also really common reactions. And because the diagnosis of infertility changes everything, it's very normal to experience these feelings. If you've been told that building your family in the way you originally planned is not possible, this is a loss. You may have had a failed IVF cycle or had a miscarriage or maybe had an illness that affected your fertility. Feelings of grief are normal and healthy, and they're actually necessary for emotional healing. Feelings of failure, I find, are also really common. You may find yourself questioning your worth as a man or a woman, especially, you know, if you're a woman and your sense of being female is tied in with pregnancy and childbirth, or you're a man, and your definition of being a man is being able to pass along those genes, that can make it even more difficult when you're up against infertility. Also, socially, there can be significant sources of stress as well. Family and friends, especially parents, might constantly raise questions about, when are you going to have that grandbaby of ours? Okay. Your friends may have already started their families, and it can certainly feel as if the whole world is pregnant and has kids except you. And I think it's not at all unusual to feel very jealous when you see that happening. You know, many folks that I've worked with describe a feeling of just being left behind. while all their friends have just moved on to the next phase of their lives. And so it can be challenging to feel so happy for everyone else when you're in pain. Family and friends, in their effort to support you, I think sometimes downplay the amount of stress you're experiencing, may try to give you advice that may leave you feeling even more alone or misunderstood. I mean, how many of you have been told, well, just relax, and or just adopt? People are always full of lots of wisdom to pass along. Now, another source of stress often is actually, your marriage or your long-term relationship. Dealing with a fertility crisis can generate a tremendous amount of strain in a relationship. And men and women often handle the stress of infertility very differently. In general, women tend to talk a lot more about their distress. And in general, this can really drive some men crazy. And I think men in general, tend to throw themselves into their work and retreat. Certainly not everyone, but a large majority. If there are already problems in your marriage or in your relationship, these actually can get much worse once the stress of infertility hits. I also want to add that relationships, even though they can be strained, can also become stronger during crisis. So be open to that possibility. So I've seen folks really develop some good communication, actually become closer through the process. For some of you, financial stress is another source of some strain. As many of you know, infertility treatment is often not covered by insurance and is very expensive, especially once you start getting into IVF cycles or egg and sperm donation and so on. And if you don't have insurance benefits at work, that's really, really difficult. Okay, so for those of you who actually do have benefits, there can be the additional stress of, gosh, I got to hang on to this job because how else am I going to pay for all this? And if you happen to be in a job you don't like, obviously that would be hard. Okay. And for some people, just having to leave work for appointments and all that, it can get really hard, especially if your boss doesn't know or a few coworkers. There's a lot of explaining to do about why you're in and out. I also find that spiritually, some people become quite distressed with infertility. It's not unusual to experience a crisis of faith. You may be thinking, why me? Or, if you believe in God, perhaps wondering why God has abandoned you. I've also found folks that, if you have had an abortion in your past or done something you weren't proud of, it can often feel like the infertility is God's punishment for what you did. Okay. So all this to say that the inability to have a baby can generate a true crisis in your life. And the hard part is that you don't know when it will end. Okay, your life can just feel like it's this crazy roller coaster ride. And you can handle it for a short time. But when you don't see an end in sight, that's when most people do start to break down in some ways. Because most people don't think of infertility as a medical crisis, there's not always the recognition that you might need help coping. Okay. If we look at other medical crises, things are different. None of us would expect someone who's just been diagnosed with cancer or HIV to magically cope. Okay? Most people would understand that those are tough diagnoses and that it would take a person some time to learn how to handle them. Yet people sometimes make light of infertility. So you basically end up facing this huge medical crisis without the tools and appropriate support necessary to deal with the incredible stress. Okay, so what I want to spend some time doing now is actually talking about some specific things that you can do to cope more effectively. How do you start to get some semblance of being back in control again? What I'd like to do now is review 10 tools and strategies for surviving infertility. The first strategy is really a pretty basic one. It's very, very important that you get yourself a good physician. Okay. And when we look at people that specialize in infertility, really what we're talking about is reproductive endocrinologists. There are some OBGYNs out there that are doing infertility work, but it's really rare to find one that has a really, really solid experience base like you'll find with a reproductive endocrinologist. Okay. It's important to have a knowledgeable, caring physician in your corner because that makes a huge difference. Okay. If you don't have someone who knows what they're doing, they can end up really wasting a lot of your time. And I have seen that over and over where I've seen people come in and they spent, you know, a couple of years at an OBGYN's office, just doing Clomid again and again and IUIs. And when the actual infertility issue was something that needed to be treated in another way. Okay. So where can you find a reproductive endocrinologist? You can go to the Society for Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility, and that's www.socrei.org. That's Society for Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility, socrei.org. And you'll find a list of OBGYNs that are board certified in reproductive endocrinology. Secondly, I think it's really important to protect yourself. And what I mean by this is, if you get the invitation to the baby shower, you know, if you have friends that are pregnant, there's really not a whole lot to be gained by exposing yourself to those folks. Okay, these types of things can literally be salt in your emotional wounds. And, you know, I do have some people I've worked with who try to be very strong and face these situations stoically as if it'll make them stronger. Okay, and the way that I look at it is that infertility is truly traumatizing and emotionally wounding. And in order to heal, you need to avoid things that make your emotional pain worse. So if you keep exposing yourself to emotionally traumatic situations, it's like peeling the scab off your wound. All it does is delay your healing. Third, it's important to identify where you have control. Okay. The shock of infertility can be kind of like a rock falling into a pool of water. And when a rock falls into the water, you'll notice that it sends out ripples from the center. And the ripples, in some ways, represent the losses you can possibly sustain when you're dealing with infertility. Perhaps you lose your faith that you can conceive on your own, you know, meaning without medical intervention. Maybe you lose your dream of a genetic connection with your child, as in a situation where you're using a donor or adopting. Or maybe you can't carry the baby yourself, as in a surrogacy situation. There are some losses you have no choice but to accept at some point, because they stem from the medical reality of your infertility situation. However, there are some losses that are truly more optional. Do you need to lose all hope of ever being a parent? Do you need to lose your ability to see yourself as a real man or a real woman? Do you have to lose your marriage to the stress of infertility? To me, these are typically more avoidable losses. And certainly, you may need some help to avoid these losses. So please reach out for help if you find that your marriage is strained and really starting to show some wear from all the stress that you're carrying. Number four, I think it's important to let yourself grieve. There is no right way to feel when you're dealing with infertility. You may be sad at times, extremely angry at other times, guilty too. And I see this a lot with people who've actually had to wait to start their families because they're establishing their careers and they're feeling really bad. Like, why didn't I do it earlier? The most important thing is to make some space to deal with grief. Grief has energy attached to it, and you need to allow that to move through your life in some way. Sometimes it's through tears and talking. Other times it's journaling or being physically active, focusing on a project and getting it done. Because when I think about grief, to me it's kind of like a beach ball. And if you've ever tried to push a beach ball underwater, you know how hard that is. And unexpressed grief is like that. You can try to stuff it down, but it always finds a way to come back up. And, you know, I'm thinking of someone that I worked with, you know, who had suffered a miscarriage years and years prior and never dealt with the grief and finally had to. It just would not go away. And if you don't deal with the grief, it can come out in other ways, and often it's in signs of stress, headaches, stomach aches, depression, anxiety, and so on. So it is important just to let yourself walk through the feelings that you have. Number five, it's important to learn how to manage stress. Things like deep breathing, acupuncture, hatha yoga, participating in a mind-body program can help. Stress management is a skill. Just because someone says relax doesn't mean any of us really know how to do that. Okay, And some of you may already have skills from perhaps you pray, perhaps you meditate, maybe you engage in some sort of martial arts or yoga. Those, some of the skills that are embedded in those particular things can be helpful even in coping with infertility. Dr. Alice Domar has a couple of books that I like to recommend. One is Conquering Infertility, and the other one is Healing Mind, Healthy Woman. Those are full of some very important tips for managing ongoing stress. There's also a kind of a classic in the world of stress management called the Stress Reduction and Relaxation Workbook, and that's an excellent resource as well. Another one I like is actually, it's a CD called Help for Infertility by Bella Ruth Napersek. And you can find some of these, I have links to these things on my website, www.fertilitycounseling.com. Six, I think it's important to either find support from those who already understand what you're going through or help those who typically support you to understand. Okay. If you're looking for support outside, there is an organization called Resolve. And Resolve is actually the National Infertility Association, and an excellent, excellent organization. They're all over the country, but they also have more local resources as well. So if you go to resolve.org, you'll be able to find some good things there. Seven, work with your partner or learn ways to manage the impact on your relationship, okay, the impact of all this stuff. And so let me give an example of what I'm talking about. For example, if you have a partner that really doesn't want to talk about this all the time, it's helpful to just set a time limit on how much you discuss infertility each day. Okay, that can help make it more tolerable to the other person, you know, and you can ask them, well, you know, during those 15 minutes I'm talking about this, I really need you to focus on me and to listen with openly. And I think that can be helpful just to contain some of the, obsessing that most people do experience. I mean, it's hard to just stop thinking about this stuff. It's also important, I think, to accept that you have different ways of coping and that your styles just may be different. I think that's really tough, is when one person needs to talk and the other one just needs to get away, and they really are just not a good match for each other. So sometimes you do have to seek outside sources of support. Eight, I would say, please get help if you feel overwhelmed or you find yourself slipping into depression. And what I mean by depression is that you're feeling sad all the time. It feels like there's a dark cloud hanging over you. You're feeling chronically hopeless or helpless, and you just feel like you cannot find your way out. Resolve does have some good support resources. If you're looking for more individual support, though, you'll want to go outside Resolve. And one of the ways you can actually track down a mental health professional that's got some experience in infertility is to go through the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. They actually have a mental health professional group, which consists of people who work in this area. Okay, and you can locate a list of those folks at ASRM.org. That's ASRM.org for the American Society for Reproductive Medicine. And if you go there, there's a Find a Doctor link, and there'll be a mental health professional link, and you can search in your area to see who's listed. I will tell you that as a psychologist, I'm very, very aware that for most people it's hard to reach out. There are many negative stereotypes of mental health professionals, you know, and the people that come into my office often are nervous on the first visit, but it really doesn't take a whole lot of time to settle down. You know, I think the big worry is, you know, is this person going to think I'm crazy? Okay. And the people that come into my office are not crazy. They're just hurting and need some help figuring out how to decrease their emotional pain. And I always tell the people that I work with that the smartest, strongest people come in to get help. It takes real strength to acknowledge when you need help, and it takes smarts to realize that someone else may have information that may ease your journey, okay? So seeking help is really about finding shortcuts so that you're not adding to the suffering that you already have. Nine, I think it's important to pace yourself. Remember that this journey is a marathon, not a sprint. You must listen to yourself and what you can physically, emotionally, and financially handle. It is really, really important to take breaks. And if you speak to any professional athlete, they'll tell you that someone who's runs marathons, They really know how to pace themselves. They slow down when they need to. They speed up when they can. Okay. So I think it's hard, though, because your medical team may or may not be factoring in how you're doing emotionally. And so they just may be saying, well, this is the next step. And they put that out there as an option. But it's important for you, and if you have a partner, to really stop and ask yourself, is this something that I'm ready to do? Or do I need to pause or take a break and come back to this after I've regrouped and just given myself to recover from whatever loss has just happened? Okay. Lastly, I think it's important to always have a roadmap. Okay. And what I mean by this is it's important to know what you will do if you get bad news. Because in my experience that when people really are too positive, and, you know, as a psychologist, you may find it strange that I'm telling people not to be so positive. I think it can be a real emotional trap to go in with blind optimism. What I find is a much more effective way of going into various treatments is really to have cautious optimism, to hope for the best, but really to have a plan for what if this treatment doesn't work, okay? And sometimes people feel like, well, if I think anything negative, I'm going to jinx it. And that's typically not the case. It's things are not that delicate. But knowing what your next steps would be if things don't work out will typically help you feel more in control. Okay, and you should think about, what are you willing to do to have a baby? Okay, how important is pregnancy and childbirth to you? That's some of the dimensions you want to be thinking about. How important is the genetic connection? Can you and your partner find happiness without a child? Answers to these questions can help you develop your own path through infertility. For people who are open to a variety of ways of forming a family, the goal of becoming a parent is typically achievable. Okay. Lastly, some of you may know this, but the Chinese symbol for crisis is the same as opportunity. And from where you're sitting, it may be hard to see that anything good could actually come out of your pain. Infertility can truly turn your life upside down. But I really believe that if it's managed properly, you can actually come out the other side emotionally and spiritually much stronger, with clarity about what is important in your life. Thank you so much for listening. And if you'd like to learn more about my practice or explore some of the resources I've talked about, please visit my website, www.fertilitycounseling.com. And I hope you find some things there that will help you on your journey. I invite you to join my mailing list to continue receiving information that can help you learn how to cope more effectively as you work your way toward resolving your infertility. Thank you so much.